Hi and welcome to the show. Today, I am joined by Kamal Shetty. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Investment Fiji. This episode is a little bit different. We are talking about a fast emerging outsourcing market. It is Fiji, of course. If you remember, we spoke to Outsource Fiji in episode number 405. That is the official outsourcing association for Fiji. Whereas this is Investment Fiji, which is actually the government responsible for promoting Fiji. As you might all know, one of the major contributions of Fiji is its tourism. It contributes about 40% to the GDP, and they are now looking to diversify, and they have set their sights on outsourcing as being that golden goose that can provide them employment, stable income, good clientele, and a very strong industry that is future focused. So it's really great that they are focusing on this. They have all of the support and cooperation of the government and associations there. It is a very small country, so it's interesting what you can get done when you do have a small country. So really interesting conversation with Kamal, and really learn a lot about the opportunity in Fiji. And of course, if anyone is interested in setting up in Fiji or is finding staff in Fiji, then this is a must listen for you. As always, if you're on any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Enjoy. This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from offshore business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you are already outsourcing, about to start, or are somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your offshore operations. The Outsource Accelerator Marketplace now covers over 3,000 outsourcing firms, representing a global workforce of over 5 million people. We also host this leading outsourcing podcast, publish Inside Outsourcing, and have over 15,000 pages of content on the site. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Also, if you find this podcast interesting or valuable, please share it. We have now produced hundreds of episodes featuring the outsourcing world's most prominent luminaries. Please show your support by sharing this podcast today. Fantastic. Fantastic. So Kamal, you are the CEO of Investment Fiji. You're sitting in Fiji right now, and you're here to talk about outsourcing and how that is really changing the face of Fiji for the better. So first of all, why don't you introduce yourself, but significantly Investment Fiji, and how all of that clicks together into the outsourcing industry.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for having us and inviting us to speak on this important topic for the country, and I think important sector as a whole for Fiji. So I am the CEO for Investment Fiji. Investment Fiji is basically an investment and trade promotion agency of the government. We are responsible for attracting new investment into the country, but at the same time, we walk around also facilitating those investment, facilitating both foreign and domestic investment. So we work on both spaces. And we also have a role around export promotion. So we look at promoting Fijian products, including services overseas, and see how we can get and expand those services and invest and export in other markets. So in a nutshell, that's our role. And we are here to support the growth of the economy. And as part of our strategy, if you look at our strategy, outsourcing sector is an important aspect of it. And for the country, it's important in terms of economic diversification. So Fiji is an economy reliant on tourism, heavily reliant on tourism. So COVID taught us a number of lessons during that time. And it was very important for us to explore new avenues and new sectors. And I think outsourcing has been one of that standout sectors that we want to continue to develop as a country.
It's really great. I have a sort of loose familiarity with Fiji. I was raised in New Zealand, and of course, there's a lot of Fijian. Well, there's a close relationship between New Zealand and Fiji, and a lot of Fijians, of course, in New Zealand. I have never been to Fiji, but certainly, you know, have a close familiarity and kinship to the country. Can you describe Fiji? You know, how big is it? What's the population? What's the demographics? And are there, you know, what's the education like there?
Yeah, so Fiji is obviously, you know, if you look at Fiji, very close to Australia and New Zealand. I think very important for us, we have also a large diaspora that is in Australia, New Zealand, US, Canada, and some Europe countries. So we do have a large diaspora outside. But as a country, we have got 900,000 people. So relatively not a very big economy and a country, but we have 900,000 people. And in terms of our, you know, mainstay of the economy is tourism. We have a bit of sugar industry and other agriculture industries, but mostly dominated by tourism. So about 40% of our economy is dominated by tourism, and it relies on tourism for economy, for the economy as a whole. And, you know, in terms of the demographics, or it's, and if you look at Fiji, it's a quite a multiracial society. So we've got the Itoke, which is the native people. Then we have the Indian. The Lings come from basically from the sugar industry. They were brought in to work during the sugar industry in Fiji. And you have a bit of population of Indians that have links to India. And then we have also Chinese. So it's a very multiracial, and a lot of Pacific Islanders also call Fiji their home. So it's a very multiracial, I think, society that gives us that uniqueness. And in terms of basically the area I come from, we mostly, our investment comes from Australia, New Zealand, and US. And we also trade, majority of our trade is Australia, New Zealand, the Pacific Island countries, well connected to Pacific Island countries, and US. So those were, you know, in a bit of nutshell, what the economy and the context of Fiji looks like.
It's great. And what about sort of education levels? And because, you know, from what I understand of tourism generally, it's, you know, it's a great economic injection to the economies, but, you know, you're certainly not in finance and the banking sector. And are there universities there, and are people able to find jobs, and what sort of employment like generally in Fiji?
Generally, Fiji is, you know, we have a very well-developed education sector, education system. Obviously, we were, you know, a British colony once, so we have a lot of things that comes from that. So we have, and Fiji has three universities, and with a population size of, you know, with 900,000, sorry, it's a quite a, you know, unique where you have three universities. So you've got a regional university, which is University of the South Pacific, which is based here. They have a lot of students that comes from the region also to study here. And then you have Fiji National University, which is Fiji, you know, university that supports students from Fiji, and University of Fiji. So we have quite a strong education sector, and also relatively quite strong secondary school sector, where students, also international students, come from countries like, you know, other parts of the world to study. So, and English is the major language. And so that's very important. So a lot of people, almost everyone speaks English here. So it's very easy to communicate, and the education system is in English. So that's one of the important points where we managed to get, and our accent are quite neutral, managed to get this outsourcing sector going, because that was one of the advantages we have. So, you know, to cover your question is basically, we've got quite a strong, you know, education system, which also, you know, you have opportunity in Fiji. But I think one strong point, if you see, is also a lot of our people are working in Australia and New Zealand and other countries. So that means that they are also absorbing our people into their systems because of our education.
Do you consider that a brain drain? Is, you know, do you get a lot of the, you know, the younger educated kids leaving, and is that a big brain drain? Or, you know, do you see it in reverse, like a lot of them come back you know, and sort of empower the country. How do you see that balance between a lot of Fijians heading to New Zealand and Australia and around the world? Do a lot of them repatriate back and obviously bring then money and experience back into the economy?
Yeah, I think currently that's a big challenge for us, you know, especially with movement of people after COVID that has, you know, created a lot of challenge in terms of people, you know, going out and working somewhere else. So I think that's a global phenomenon that continues. So government is looking at ways that we can, you know, maybe look at ways to strategize that. So we do have people going out, but we also have, you know, diaspora. We've, as an organization, we ourselves are trying to attract investment from our people that have gone, you know, and the skills they're bringing back to the economy. So a few examples, like most recent one is Crown Plaza property that is being built or about to open in Nandi. That is from our diaspora investment. So we do see people coming back, but we want to do more around that space so we are able to attract more skills and at the same time attract more investment back into Fiji. So there's both ways. Obviously, the other one is we've seen remittance double, which means a lot of people are sending money back to Fiji. In the last few years, we've seen a double of remittance, but that's a short-term kind of, you know, money that flows into the country. We as a country working to see if that brain drain is balanced.
Yeah, no, it's so important, isn't it? Especially with, you know, a slender population, it's really important that you keep the good guys there. And you've mentioned COVID a couple of times. Like, what impact did that have on your economy then? Obviously, you know, did it largely shut down the tourism economy? And I can imagine it had a pretty bad impact on everything.
Well, because we are, you know, a tourism reliant economy, we had a huge impact. There was a lot of people that went home, a lot of hotels, but the country basically closed during COVID. So it had a huge impact on the economy, but I think Fiji has recovered pretty well after the, if you look at our tourism numbers, for example, last year was the highest we've ever received in terms of, you know, recovery and our economy going back to where it was before COVID. You know, we've already almost there in terms of the economy growth, but it's about now maintaining that growth and ensuring that we have a sustainable growth in future. So if you look at recovery of, obviously, huge impact on the economy, but the recovery has been well. And now, for example, we see shortage of rooms because of the demand and the prices have changed. So these, you know, different challenges that have come because of that recovery. But, you know, these other challenges that have come. So we have to maintain kind of the growth and we have to see how we the balance of that growth and it's sustainable for longer term, not in fluctuating.
Yeah, it's you know, it's incredible, isn't it? Everyone thought that COVID was the end of the world in some regards, and, you know, especially for economies dependent on tourism, it certainly must have seemed like that. But everything comes back, doesn't it? It's so good to see that, you know, you're hitting record numbers again. There's green shoots of recovery, and, you know, that's the beautiful thing about life, it seems. And so, you know, for people who might feel this is a little bit familiar, we spoke to Outsource Fiji on the podcast in episode 405. So about 1 year ago, and that is obviously the outsourcing association in Fiji responsible for encouraging the growth of the industry. From your perspective, like, what is the journey? Do you just want to give us a recap? You know, a couple of times you've mentioned the confluence of COVID and then building the outsourcing industry to sort of fortify your economic, you know, foundations. Is it really that recent? Like, can you give us a quick timeline of the outsourcing industry in Fiji?
Yeah, the outsourcing industry has been there for a while, I think, but with COVID, you know, things grew after that. And there was few reasons behind it. So Outsource Fiji is a very important partner for us. We work together to basically grow the industry. They are more of our industry body while we are government, you know, body, and we work together in order to grow that sector. And what happened during COVID was, you know, one of the reasons the growth was because a lot of bigger countries that, you know, are famous or they are big in outsourcing, they couldn't really mobilize their workforce. While in Fiji, this was an important sector. It was declared an emergency sector. So government allowed, because of our size, allowed people to move. So that allowed that industry to grow during this time because other countries couldn't, while Fiji could. So people shifted some of the operations to Fiji. So we know Fiji, as we move forward, won't be a very, you know, we won't be like Philippines or we won't be like India. But I think we can be backup centers to a lot of their operations here, allows us to do, you know, do operations while, you know, there might be challenges with other sectors. So there was, you know, what we've seen in the sector during COVID, in fact, the sector grew. There are more employment created. So there is about 20 BPO operators currently in Fiji, 6 shared services and 3 knowledge process outsourcing centers. And, you know, that grew during COVID and, you know, continues to grow. We employ about 8,000 people now, started with only a few thousand people. So we've got brands like KPMG, DHL, Vodafone, you know, ANZ, PwC. All of them have, you know, a bit of operations here. So that the journey has been good, but I think now for us, it's about moving and growing that sector. There is some challenges definitely in the sector. So we're finding solutions to see if we can solve those challenges and continue to grow this sector.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? I mean, 8,000 is a good number. Obviously, it's small compared to some of the bigger outsourcing destinations, but there are some fantastic logos that you mentioned there. You know, big international brands are entrusting their activities in CG. So there's a lot of stability there. And obviously, I would assume, you know, those salaries, good salaries, is bringing good kind of economic stability to those 8,000 families as well. So it's very powerful stuff, isn't it? With the size of the population, like, where do you see the potential for the outsourcing industry? I mean, you know, in the Philippines, they're kind of about 1.8 million people in there. They're now planning to get to 2.5 million people in the industry. I think India is about 4.55 million people in the industry. You know, where is 100,000 people a lofty ambition for Fiji, do you think? Do you think you could get to that kind of number?
Yeah, I think our aim is 25,000 people in at least next 10 years. You know, need to be sustainable and look at what's happening around the economy. You know, other sectors are also growing. So, you know, we're targeting 25,000 people to start off with, I think. And because we have a lot of young, you know, population, 90% of our workforce is under 35 years old. So we do have, you know, a lot of people available, young people that can be observed in that industry. So 25,000 from our side looks at a reasonable, you know, growth for next few years. And at the same time, I think one of the things I didn't mention was, you know, a lot of, when you talk to a lot of BPO companies here, the quality of service, it's a bit different, very high. You know, they get a lot of accommodation, a lot of their customers saying that, you know, the quality of service here, because of neutral accent and other things, or culture and the service culture that has been embedded in the system because of tourism sector, allows us to do well.
And generally, you know, obviously a sector is very disparate, but where are you focusing? Do you want to be a country of KPO, like knowledge processing? Do you want to do the higher end stuff? Are you just happy to get a lot of basic customer service? Like, where do, or, you know, maybe developers or technical skills? Like, where do you think your population suits in terms of provision for the global industry?
I think our aim is more KPO and high skill, you know, as we move forward, because obviously we have universities here, we have good graduates that come out of universities, but we have to also provide them pathways into, you know, into this sector. So it's very important we have, you know, as a country, get the most out of that as a sector. So we see a bit of high skill, you know, KPO space, that's where we want to focus on as a country.
Yeah. Look, and I see the overarching trend here is, you know, 20 years ago, you were limited to your domestic economic, you know, capacity. There was no real, you know, and you had a little bit of trade amongst countries, obviously, and tourism was an example, is an example of that. But there was no sort of direct economic intermingling. Now with the internet, you know, anyone can get online, like a 20-year-old kid can get online and he can go and get a job off Upwork. And largely the outsourcing industry is a proliferation of that, in that,
yes,
you know, there are many SMEs in Australia and New Zealand that need staffing but can look now further ashore than their local market. Are you seeing just generally an explosion, I suppose domestically also, but also, you know, from overseas, of just people realizing that someone in Australia can hire a Fijian in Fiji now? You know, it's easy and it's possible. And also equally, someone in Fiji, you know, a young graduate, they don't need to be limited by the job search in their local town. They can sort of get remote work online. Is that becoming more apparent to Fiji? You're seeing that sort of trickle through the economy, or is it still a little bit sort of esoteric?
No, I think there is huge change on how people view employment now. A lot of people that even diaspora that have gone overseas and they operate firms in Australia, for example, in accounting, Australia, New Zealand, they come and employ a few people here, offload some of the work from Australia to be done here. They find the skills here. So I've seen that trend also. And at the same time, we've seen young people also working for companies in Australia, but based from Fiji. And I think the growth has been quite big. If you look at some of the numbers in terms of, you know, access to smartphones, access to internet, you know, Fiji has relatively been doing well. And I'm not sure if you've heard, but most recently, Google has also announced, you know, a new cable into Fiji. They are doing an investment in Fiji. So we had a cable that brings the internet in, the Southern Cross cable. So this new cable will become a supporting, you know, basically system for that growth. So they will, you know, I'm sure, have a huge impact on the economy in terms of accessibility, you know, access to family data and the speed of data. All those will have huge impact as a growth potential for the economy. So we see, you know, our ICT sector also developing this potential with the outsourcing. So it's very important that we have, you know, those kind of infrastructure in place for growth of this sector. So, you know, we've seen in that area also growing as a country.
Yeah, it's amazing, huh? And in terms of the outsourcing sector, I see it roughly as sort of two ways to grow. You have the grassroots option, which is the small local BPOs starting in Fiji and, you know, gaining clients, growing that way. Or the alternative is having locators come in, often referred to as locators or investors, but basically the big outsourcing firms, the big call centers coming in and locating in Fiji and maybe hiring, you know, 2,000-3,000 people in one go kind of thing. Are you pursuing both of those? I suppose initially with the grassroots, like what are you seeing? Are there BPOs or outsourcing firms that are homegrown to Fiji and they are entrepreneurs, business people, and they're just making a go of it? Are you seeing that, the country?
Fiji, we've seen, you know, outside players coming in. There's a number of outside players that have come in. But recently, we've also seen a number of local players that have come in and want to, you know, start operation and look at growing that sector. So for us, it should be a delicate balance because we also want to grow the current operators that are here. So you want to grow them also. And obviously, as you know, we bring competition, it's very important to create a balance where we'll be able to, you know, manage our people. We're not a very big population like what Philippines and India is. So it's very important that we create that delicate balance between growing our kind of, you know, homegrown and also companies that are already here, and at the same time bringing new players in what spaces. So we strategize around that. And we ensure that we create a balance on that strategy.
Yeah, it's great you say that, actually, because a lot of people, you know, I speak to a lot of emerging outsourcing markets, whether it's Jordan or Uzbekistan or Kenya or Nigeria recently, you know, and they are so attracted by these locators that could potentially just set up a site and fire 3,000 people immediately. And it's kind of very quick satisfaction. But often what the untold story is these big brands, these big locators, they ring the government of, you know, taxes, incentives, and they probably get free lease and free rent and, you know, free electricity and often the deals are very, very advantageous to the locators, which, you know, and I'm sure Investment Fiji is open to making deals. But again, as you say, it's about having that power balance, isn't it? And yeah. And as well, you know, it's got to be a win-win for Fiji, for the people, and not just the locators. So definitely, I think building your own domestic industry and your own grassroots industry balances that power. If you just have relocators, I think, you know, they're very sophisticated, very shrewd players, and they would just wring any sort of incentive, tax incentive, savings they can out of the country and the people, which is, it's a bit scary. And then also you don't really learn to stand on your own 2 feet either, do you? Not building your own infrastructure so much.
Yeah, I think it's very important to create that balance, because you don't want to kill your, especially if you are a small economy and small population size, you don't want to ruin your industry. So it's very important you create that balance and ensure, you know, your laws, your incentives are right across, and it actually supports growth of our existing players that are there.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is the, what is the support? That is the segue, but obviously, you know, it's balanced, but what is the support from government? I assume the government is really behind this. Also, the advantage of having a small country is that I assume the government's just there. Yeah. Like, you're there, you see everything happening on the ground, and you've probably met all of the outsourcing firms.
Yes.
You're really there. And so you can really take an interest in the industry and help it along.
Yeah. I think the government has huge support for this sector, you know, critically important, as I said, in terms of economic diversification for the country. And we want this sector to grow. So the government is very proactive, and they want to ensure that this sector grows. So there is a lot of support. Obviously, you know, you have incentives that are available. Outsource Fiji has also get support from the government. So, you know, as a government continues to support it and ensure that they are part of the conversation. Like, for example, we are involved. We are a member to the Outsource Fiji, to ensure that we are part of the conversation, understand what's happening in this industry, and then ensure that it goes to government to say they make the policies that are important for that sector, to grow that sector. So I think the government in Fiji is very, very, very close to the sector, and they really want the sector to grow.
No, that's good. That's very, very good stuff. And I assume if people are interested, if you know, certainly, you know, a lot of our audience is the mid-sized BPOs, and recently Colombia has really been sort of, you know, a hot topic. Everyone's kind of doing trips to Colombia to see whether it's worth setting up environments there. And Vietnam has been a little bit discussed, but, you know, is Fiji an option? And how do they coordinate that? Can they reach out to people on the ground? Can they sort of have a walk around? How does it work in terms of doing, you know, a fact-finding mission in Fiji?
We've also, if you look at Fiji, we have a very good value proposition, especially around, you know, outsourcing sector. And we do possess a number of advantages, I think, especially in this region. We'll continue to pursue that. And there's a lot of support from government, you know, and we continue to have a lot of support from, you know, organizations like us and also outsource. So if you've got any inquiries or you want to find out about sector, you can reach out to Investment Fiji, and also Outsource Fiji would be happy to take you through everything that can be done here. We'll be happy to support you during that journey.
Because the people are central to all of this, aren't they? In developed markets like the Philippines, the actual problem now is, it's a good problem, but the problem is finding enough staff. And, you know, globally, it's become an issue in terms of staff shortages generally. And, you know, Convergys has said in the Philippines, if we could get them, we would hire 100,000 staff tomorrow. You know, there's that much demand for them. But in these mature markets, it's become, all the staff are in such demand. However, in less mature markets, for example, South Africa, you know, there's still kind of dozens of applicants per role. How is it in Fiji? Again, these things are, it's essential to balance it, isn't it? You know, too far one way is not good, too far the other way is not good. But how is the sort of job situation in Fiji and availability of the right people?
You know, as you mentioned, it's a global phenomena. You know, it's happening in most of the countries around the world. It's very difficult to find people. Fiji is the same. You still have competition amongst, you know, the operators here. Then you've also got the challenges on people migrating overseas or looking for, you know, jobs outside the country. But I think the BPO sector has been able to attract some of the talents, because if you look at Fiji, you know, for you to work for an international brand is like a important factor in when people consider, you know, being employed in when they get starting to, you know, looking for job. So for you to work, for example, a global brand that is set up here, it goes well with their CV. So they, you know, do prefer to work in BPO sector. So it's like a, you know, it's like an important employment for you. So that's an advantage. But also the sector itself, a number of trainings had been done. They've, you know, now running trainings with Fiji National University, which allows, you know, them to attract people to look at employment in the sector. And also number of women employed in this sector is very critical. I think, you know, we'll see that growth more in that sector. So what we've seen is more women employed. So there's in Fiji labor force in terms of women employed, but still available. So I think there will be an opportunity for us to look at that. And some of the BPOs are also looking at people that are in just finishing off secondary schools, and they're trying to get into their employment or for their basic skills to start off with and then train them. So there is definitely a challenge, but I think the industry itself are creating a lot of innovative solutions to attract employment or attract people into this sector.
Got it. So people are working the same sort of patterns, or is night shift now becoming common? Because of course, you know, the big demand comes from the US. Like, what are you seeing in terms of shift patterns there?
We have night shifts. We also have nearshoring. We have, as I mentioned, KPO, you know, high skill employment, like in accounting, in HR services, IT services. And I've got now clients that are talking about software engineers. So it's I think Fiji has a mix of thing kind of in that sector.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? And, you know, I just see this. I speak to a few emerging outsourcing markets, and it's great. I think that Fiji is really recognizing this opportunity for the government, for its people, and, you know, sort of showing a concerted effort and a concerted cooperation to help this industry flourish. What do you say, actually, Kamal, you know, on a side note, I was going to wrap up there, but on a side note, there's a negative association with outsourcing that it's some kind of slave labor, you know, and we do a lot of advertising out into the US, and they suggest that it's kind of slavery or unethical or abuse. But, you know, if anyone in the industry sees that actually they're good jobs, it's opportunity, they're safe environments, you know, their career ladders. How do you sort of see those two sides of the argument and the weird kind of negative connotation that outsourcing can sometimes have?
I think it also depends on strategy around organizations like us. What kind of outsourcing are you attracting? So Outsource Fiji and us, to ensure that we attract, you know, companies that actually add value to your economy and value to your people. And for Fiji, I think outsourcing is not seen as just an employment, but a full-time employment by some people also, because they get into this sector and they stay there for a while, and some of them have been there for a while. So it's not just seen as a, you know, temporary employment. It's seen as an employment that can actually help improve your social life, improve your, you know, the social impact it has on families and on villages and people around you. I think has much better in Fiji than maybe other countries. So we don't see that sector as, you know, as an active kind of way, but more to contributing to actually growth of the economy and the people and the society.
It's funny, in the Philippines, outsourcing was largely derided when it first came over. It was considered like quite a lonely job, you know, and arguably to be a call center agent, it maybe is, but you fast forward 30, 35 years, and you now have multi-generational people that have been working in outsourcing for their entire careers. And
yes,
the result of that is that you have executive talent. You now have these people that were once call center agents running call centers. You have these people becoming entrepreneurs and opening up their own call centers. You know, and it's this evolution of life, isn't it? And once you go two or three generations, it's no longer just, you know, basic call center agents. You're doing KPO, you're doing high complexity stuff, doing very sophisticated activities, and also the people in the population grow with it. So it's so valuable to an economy, isn't it? You know, and it's able jobs in offering career ladders for major international logos. There's a lot to like about it. Yeah.
A lot to like about it. Definitely agree with that, because, you know, that it creates, you know, a lot of careers for a lot of people. There is, you know, opportunities for you to, especially countries like Fiji and the small economies, you have new technologies, new systems being brought in, and you upskilling your own people. And that has huge impact on the economy, and it can, their skills can be taken and applied in other places, maybe in government system, public sector, and some private sector companies. So I think there is, you know, it on the economy overall, a positive one.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, with small economies, in some ways they're so, you know, they have so many headwinds, they have so many challenges, but with small economies, they can actually leapfrog things very quickly, can't they? Because they don't have as much legacy. And I saw that in New Zealand as well, that they can kind of leapfrog technology, whereas bigger countries, you know, even affluent US, they're kind of held behind because of the size of the country and, you know, getting everything moving. So it's an interesting opportunity for the smaller countries, smaller economies. Kamal, thank you so much. Thank you again for your insights. And, you know, I just see so much opportunity for relatively new entrants into the outsourcing market. And again, you know, it reiterates the power of outsourcing and the global economy and global employment. So thank you so much for your government in terms of identifying this and putting their efforts behind it and supporting it. I find that really invigorating for the global economy. Kamal, as always, I encourage people to reach out if they want to learn more. How can they find you, find Fiji Investment Fiji?
Just to finish it off, thank you very much for having us. It's our pleasure to, you know, to discuss about this sector. It's an interesting, you know, sector for us. And as an economy, I think to play an important role in future, it will continue to have huge impact on the economy like us, and maybe economies in the Pacific also, which definitely, you know, can in future will learn from Fiji and what we have done. For any inquiries or you want to find out more about us, you can, you know, we've got a website. Can reach out to Investment Fiji website, or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn and also Investment Fiji on LinkedIn. We are on Facebook, all over social media. So be happy to connect us, and we can definitely, you know, you can connect with us through our different platforms.
Fantastic. And that website, the main website, is investmentfiji.org.f. So people can check that out, but all of those will be in the show notes anyway. Kamal, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
That was Kamal Shetty. He is the CEO of Investment Fiji. As always, if you want any of the show notes, go to Outsource Podcast. And if you want to ask us anything, just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.